All right, so we've got a lot to unpack today.
Yeah, we do.
With all this stuff about the business model canvas and then this BMU.
The business model you.
Yeah, the business model you, right?
That's right.
And some ideas about like being self-aware and all that, being proactive.
Definitely, so much to dive into.
Our mission today is to pull out the really good stuff from all this material that you gave us.
Yeah, we want to get to the core.
Like, what are the key things that can help people grow, both personally and professionally?
Absolutely. Think of it as a cheat sheet.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
you don't have to spend hours and hours reading through everything.
So we can jump right in with the business model canvas, or BMC, as they call it.
Okay, let's do it.
Now, if you've ever seen one of those like really long traditional business plans,
Those huge documents.
ugh, yeah, the BMC is way different.
It's definitely a breath of fresh air.
Like, totally different way of thinking about things.
What's really cool is that the BMC shifts the focus.
Okay, how so?
Well, those old school business plans, they try to like perfectly predict the future.
Right, like everything's set in stone.
Yeah, exactly. But the BMC is all about being flexible and learning as you go.
Gotcha.
It's really just a one-page tool. You can even use sticky notes.
Pippy notes, huh?
Yeah, to quickly sketch out and test business ideas.
It's like a lean startup approach, but visual.
Exactly. It's all about that quick iteration.
Lean startup, just for our listeners, is about building something basic quickly.
Yeah, like a minimum viable
Yeah,
product.
exactly. And then you put it out there, see how people react, what works, what doesn't.
You get that feedback, and then you make changes, constantly improving.
Did a whole cycle of build, measure, and learn, right? Now,
Exactly.
with the BMC, it's about finding the sweet spot where you can create real value.
That's the key, right?
And the materials mentioned constantly testing your ideas.
Forming hypotheses, looking at data.
And even just brainstorming all sorts of possibilities, right?
Totally. It helps you see things from different angles.
And there's some great reading suggested if anyone wants to go deeper.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
There's business model generation.
That's a classic.
It lays out like the nine key building blocks of the BMC.
And it's packed with real-world examples.
Really helpful to see it in action, right?
Absolutely. It's not just theory.
Then there's business model you.
Which is really interesting because it takes the BMC framework and shows you how to use it for yourself.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, like for your own projects, your career, even for getting more involved in your community.
So it's not just for businesses.
Not at all.
And we can't forget value proposition design.
Right, that's all about nailing down what makes your offering valuable.
Using design thinking principles.
Exactly, making sure you're solving real problems for people.
Okay, so there are a couple of really interesting business models that are explained using the BMC in one of the videos.
Oh, yeah, I remember those.
Like the double-sided model. And they use Google as an example.
Oh, yeah, that's a perfect one.
Right, because you've got the users who get to use Google search for free,
Right.
and then you've got the advertisers who are paying to reach those users.
So two very different groups, but connected.
Exactly. It's like creating this exchange where both sides get something valuable.
And Google figures out how to make money from that connection.
Brilliantly.
Yeah.
And for our listeners, think about this. In your career, your projects, could you find two groups like that?
Yeah, two groups you could help connect or serve in some way.
And how could you create something that benefits both sides?
That's a great exercise to think about.
Then there's the razor and razor blades model,
Oh, yeah, that's a classic too.
where you sell the main product for cheap, sometimes even at a loss.
Yeah, like the razor itself.
But then the refills or the consumables, those are more expensive.
Like the blades.
Exactly. And that's where you make your profit.
It's a clever strategy.
Definitely.
There was also that interactive exercise in the materials.
Oh, yeah, I like that
It's
one.
like a matching game.
Right. You had to match different parts of a car company's BMC to the correct element.
Like transportation prestige and reliable mobility.
Those would go under value provided, right?
That's right.
And things like building cars and managing dealerships.
Those are key activities.
Exactly. And then for customers, you might have young urban professionals.
Or families, or older people.
Depending on the type of car.
It really shows you how versatile the BMC is.
You can use it to understand existing businesses.
Or to map out your own ideas.
And because it's visual, you can easily see how everything connects.
And spot any potential weaknesses.
And for a super simple version, there's Steve Gideon's hand-drawn BMC.
Oh, yeah, that's a great resource.
It's an open educational resource, so anyone can access it.
It really emphasizes getting those core elements down on a single page.
Keeping it clear and concise.
Exactly. Before you get bogged down in the details.
So the business model canvas is for businesses.
Right.
But what about if you want to apply this thinking to yourself, like your career or personal projects.
That's where the Personal Business Model Canvas comes in, or BMU.
BMU, okay.
It takes that core BMC thinking and tailors it to you as an individual.
I see. So it's like the BMC, but for your own life.
Yeah, exactly.
Materials mention that it's specifically designed for people who are maybe thinking about self-employment or making a difference in their community.
Yeah, or even just exploring new career paths.
It gives you this structured way to think about your own personal landscape.
It's a really useful tool.
And they point to a video by Tim Clark,
one of the co-creators of BMU.
And he says you should start by filling in just four key elements.
To get a quick snapshot of your personal model.
Sounds easy enough.
And then the materials walk you through how the 9 sections of the BMC translate to the BMU canvas.
Okay, so how do they line up?
So in the BMC, you have customers, right?
The people you sell to.
Right, but in BMU, that becomes who you help.
Oh, interesting. So the focus shifts to who you're benefiting?
Exactly. And customer relationships in the BMC.
How a business interacts with its customers.
Becomes how you interact in BMU.
Okay, so it's about your personal interactions and relationships.
Precisely.
And what about value provided?
That becomes how you help in BMU.
So instead of products or services, it's the value you bring as an individual.
Right, your unique contribution.
Gotcha.
Then there's key activities in the BMC.
The things a company does to deliver its value.
In BMU, that becomes what you do. Your key skills and actions.
So what you're good at and how you apply those skills.
Exactly.
And key resources.
Those are a company's assets and capabilities.
Right. But for you, it's who you are and what you have.
Your skills, knowledge, personal attributes.
Like your education, experience, even your personality traits.
All of that.
What about distribution channels?
How a business reaches its customers.
That becomes how they know you in BMU.
Right. So how you build connections and get noticed.
Like networking, social media, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Revenue and benefits.
That's the money a company makes.
Right. But for an individual, it's what you get.
Not just financially, but also fulfillment, recognition, things like that.
It's a broader definition of success.
Definitely.
Then there's costs in the BMC.
A company's expenses.
For an individual, that translates to what you give.
Your time, energy, resources.
Interesting. And finally, key partners.
The other organizations that help a business.
Becomes who helps you in BMU.
Mentors, collaborators, your support network.
It's amazing how these business concepts can be applied to your personal life.
It's a really insightful way to look at yourself.
And Tim Clark, he suggests starting with 3 main elements when you're filling out your BMU.
Which ones?
Key activities.
I thought you actually do.
Right. Your core skills.
Key resources.
Who you are and what you bring to the table.
Your assets, basically.
And customers. Or in this case, who you help.
Starting with those fundamentals makes sense.
It's like laying the foundation.
Exactly.
And the materials connect this to the bird in the hand principle.
Oh, yeah. I like that one.
It's this entrepreneurial idea of starting with what you already have.
Instead of waiting for the perfect opportunity or resources.
BMU really embodies that.
It encourages you to look at your human capital.
Your skills and talents.
Your social capital.
Your network and relationships.
And your character.
Your integrity. And how you build positive connections.
All of those are essential starting points.
So if we break it down, human capital is your existing skills and knowledge.
Right. That directly relates to key resources in BMU.
Your interests, your developed skills, your natural talents.
And then social capital, those connections and relationships you've built.
That maps onto relationships in BMU.
How you interact with others, how you build and maintain your network.
And that crucial element of character.
Your integrity, reliability, how you engage with people.
That also ties into key resources in BMU.
Those inherent qualities that shape how you interact with the world.
And it definitely influences your relationships.
People are more likely to trust and work with someone with good character.
Absolutely. It's about recognizing that who you are at your core really matters.
It shapes what you can offer and how you connect with others.
Now, the document then moves on to assignment #3.
Which is all about creating a purpose statement.
Right. And this isn't just some abstract exercise.
No, it's designed to help you define 3 crucial elements of your BMY canvas.
Okay. Which ones?
The people you enjoy working with or helping help, how you add value and activities, the things you're good at and enjoy doing.
So it's about getting clear on who you want to serve, how you want to help, and what you actually enjoy doing.
Exactly. It's a way to connect your passions and skills with your impact.
A well-crafted purpose statement should have these three components.
You've got the activities you enjoy and are skilled at.
The specific types of people or groups you want to work with.
And how you're going to help them using strong action verbs.
And the document gives some helpful examples.
Like words like inspire, teach, support, empathize. Those all fall under help.
Okay, and for people, you could have students, the elderly, young artists.
And for activities, you might have writing software, organizing events, conducting research.
So for assignment hashtag 3, you actually have to do this.
Describe 3 to 5 activities you enjoy.
Identify the specific types of people or groups you want to work with.
And list 3 to 5 action verbs that describe how you'll help them.
It's like putting those pieces together to create a personal value proposition.
Right.
And then you take those elements and start crafting potential purpose statements.
Using the simple structure, I would like to help people through these activities.
It's about being intentional about your impact.
Exactly.
But as the document points out, creating a truly meaningful purpose statement is often an ongoing process.
It takes time and reflection.
You're not going to nail it on the first try.
It's more about choosing a direction and then refining it as you go.
As you learn more about yourself and the people you want to help.
Exactly. And that's where things like introspection, journaling, and even mindfulness can be really helpful.
Okay, so tell me more about mindfulness.
So mindfulness meditation is introduced as a powerful tool for self-awareness.
Self-awareness being like understanding your own thoughts and feelings.
Right, and also your attitudes and behaviors.
Including entrepreneurial traits like curiosity, proactivity, and resilience.
Exactly.
So with mindfulness, you're essentially training your mind to be more present.
Aware of what's happening in the moment.
Without judgment.
Yeah, you just observe your thoughts and emotions without labeling them as good or bad.
And the document mentions that this can actually reduce stress.
It can also have a positive impact on your brain.
Through something called neuroplasticity.
Right. That's your brain's amazing ability to change and adapt based on your experiences.
So by practicing mindfulness, you're actually rewiring your brain in a positive way.
Exactly.
The document references these "What is mindfulness?" videos.
And the key takeaway is that mindfulness is about being present in the moment, aware of your own awareness, and acknowledging your feelings without judgment.
It sounds deceptively simple.
It is, in a way, but it also takes practice.
And it brings in Jon Kabat-Zinn's definition of mindfulness.
Which is about paying attention on purpose, in the present moment, non-judgmentally.
And bringing awareness to your body, thoughts, and emotions.
He points out that our minds are often wandering, lost in thought.
And that's not where we actually experience life.
Right. Life happens in the present moment.
There's also this great Vox article called A Guide to Meditation for People Who Think They Can't Meditate.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
It addresses those common misconceptions, like the idea that you have to have a completely empty mind to meditate.
Which is totally unrealistic for most people.
Right. The article emphasizes that it's normal for your mind to be busy.
The goal isn't to stop thinking,
but to gently guide your focus back to something specific.
Like your breath, your body, or the sounds around you.
And the article points out that mindfulness itself is something you develop through the practice of meditation.
And once you cultivate that mindfulness, you can apply it to all sorts of situations in your daily life.
It's like a skill you can develop and use anywhere.
Exactly.
The article also gives some really practical advice for getting started.
Like what?
It stresses the importance of consistency, even if it's just for a few minutes each day.
Better to do a little bit regularly than try to do a lot all at once and then give up.
Right. And it says you can practice mindfulness anywhere.
Although having a dedicated quiet space can be helpful for building a habit.
It also emphasizes the value of knowing your why for practicing mindfulness.
What you hope to gain from it.
Like improved focus, reduced anxiety, better sleep.
Understanding your motivation can keep you going.
And it offers some really clear starting points. Find a quiet place, set aside a few minutes each day at the same time, focus on your breath, and when your mind wanders, just acknowledge it and gently redirect your attention back.
It's a simple but powerful practice.
And the document mentions some helpful apps like UCLA, Mindful, Calm, Headspace, 10% Happier.
There are also some good YouTube channels for guided meditations.
And it mentions that Steve Gedian uses the Waking Up app.
I've heard good things about that one.
It also talks about finding a comfortable posture for meditating.
Whether you're standing, lying down, or sitting.
Whatever works best for you.
And it acknowledges that it's common to fall asleep during meditation.
Maybe not ideal during work hours, though, right?
Probably not.
And it addresses those feelings of frustration that can come up when you're meditating.
Like feeling like you're doing it wrong.
Right. And the key is to be patient with yourself.
And to try different practices until you find one that resonates with you.
It's presented as a tool for well-being, not a quick fix.
And it can be a great complement to other approaches like therapy.
The main message is to be kind to yourself during the process.
Self-compassion is essential.
And it's great that TMU has its own mindfulness resources.
Oh, yeah, through the Mindful TMU website.
So people can find support and information right here.
Definitely.
Okay, shifting gears a bit.
Let's do it.
The document then focuses on proactivity and self-direction.
Those are key entrepreneurial attitudes.
And the emphasis is on the fact that these are things you can develop.
You're not just born proactive.
Right. It takes conscious effort and practice.
It's about actively cultivating those entrepreneurial behaviors in your everyday life.
Like curiosity, resilience, empathy, taking initiative, and creative thinking.
Those are all skills you can hone.
And the document draws a distinction between proactive and reactive behavior.
Proactive is about going above and beyond, seeking out resources, taking action without being told.
While reactive is just doing the bare minimum, waiting for instructions.
Exactly.
And it stresses how important it is to develop those self-directed learning habits while you're in university.
Because those habits will serve you well throughout your life.
It's not just about getting good grades.
It's about becoming a lifelong learner.
There's this interesting data point from an anonymous poll in ENT 101.
What was it?
It showed that a lot of students expect to dedicate fewer hours to their studies than the global average.
It makes you think about the relationship between effort and results.
Right. If you're putting in less effort than others, can you realistically expect the same outcomes?
It's a good question to consider.
Then the document introduces this concept of bias toward action.
Oh, yeah, that's a powerful principle.
It's about prioritizing action over endless planning.
It's about getting things done.
They use the example of launching a startup with ChatGPT to illustrate this.
Oh, yeah, I liked that example.
Instead of spending months perfecting a business plan,
you quickly build a basic version, get feedback, make changes, and launch.
It's all about learning by doing.
Iterating and adapting as you go.
And it also highlights the importance of learning how to use AI.
That's becoming more and more essential.
Definitely.
So circling back to assignment, #3.
Right.
The document reminds us that the purpose statement we're creating helps to define those key elements of our BMW canvas.
The people, help, and activities.
Exactly.
So let's talk about assignment #3 in more detail.
It's all about your business model. You and that purpose statement.
And it's presented as a practical guide to action.
Aiming to identify activities that are engaging, beneficial, and potentially financially sustainable.
And the document emphasizes that having a clear purpose statement is valuable in itself.
It's not just about getting a good grade.
It's about having that internal compass to guide your decisions.
Exactly.
Okay, so what are the specific guidelines for assignment #3?
You need to describe your value proposition.
How you help others.
Your key activities.
What you do to deliver that value.
And your customers.
Who you're aiming to help.
But you have to identify three distinct types of potential customers.
Okay, like who?
A potential employer, a potential customer for a side hustle or freelance work, and a potential end user if you are creating a social venture.
So it's about considering different paths you could take.
And how those different customer types might influence your activities and value proposition.
Right. What an employer values might be different from what someone benefiting from a social initiative values.
Exactly.
And then you have to create a draft of your purpose statement.
Maybe a short version and a more detailed one.
And the word limit is 500 to 700 words.
Don't forget about grammar and spelling.
Right. Proper communication is essential.
The document shares some positive feedback from previous ENT 101 students.
Oh, yeah. A lot of them found this assignment really helpful.
It helped them clarify their goals and think about their future.
That's great to hear.
But there is a very important communication standard.
What's that?
You have to use Grammarly for all your written assignments.
It's mandatory.
And if you don't use it and you have errors in your work,
you'll get a zero.
So make sure you take the time to use Grammarly.
It's a valuable tool.
There's also a reminder about the student attestation form.
Emphasizing academic integrity.
And all of this connects back to the importance of strong written communication skills.
Those are essential for success in the future of work.
No matter what field you're in.
To help you develop those skills, the document highlights the communication support services at TRSM.
Yeah, they're really helpful.
It reiterates that you have to use Grammarly.
And it mentions that past students found it really beneficial.
And it points you to the writing and English language support services.
You can get one-on-one help with planning your assignments, revising your papers, and understanding feedback.
You can book appointments online or in person.
Definitely take advantage of those resources.
There are also some quiz questions that are answered in the document.
Like what?
It confirms that a writing specialist can give you feedback on your writing, help you build your vocabulary, and strengthen your thesis statements.
That's great to know.
And if you're ever unsure about an assignment,
your first point of contact should be your course professor or your TA.
They're there to help.
And the advice is to book early and often with the writing specialist.
Don't wait until the last minute.
Definitely not.
The document also briefly mentions the synchronous one-hour communications lab sections.
Those are collaborative sessions where you can develop your communication skills.
It's a good opportunity to practice and get feedback.
And while CMN 279, Introduction to Professional Communications, isn't required for all TRSM students anymore,
it's still a valuable course if you want to enhance your communication abilities.
It's worth considering.
Especially since ENT 101 incorporates and assesses communication learning outcomes.
Right, so you're already getting some of that training here.
And lastly, there's some bonus videos for anyone who wants to explore mindfulness further.
Oh yeah, I saw those.
There's a link to an introductory audio from the Waking Up app by Sam Harris.
That's a popular one.
And a suggestion to check out the mindfulness meditation videos on the Mindful TMU website.
Definitely worth exploring.
So there you have it, a deep dive into all those materials you shared.
We covered a lot.
From business model thinking to personal development.
Mindfulness. Proactivity, communication skills.
We really hope this deep dive has given you some practical insights.
And a clearer understanding of how these different concepts are connected.
As you think about your own goals and aspirations,
consider how you might use the BMC or the BMYU to map out your next steps.
And take a moment to reflect on your own proactivity.
Are there areas where you could adopt more of a bias toward action?
We also encourage you to check out those mindfulness resources.
Even a few minutes a day can make a difference.
And never underestimate the importance of strong written communication skills.
So here's a final thought for you.
What is it?
How might intentionally applying just one of these frameworks, the BMY, a mindfulness practice, a more proactive approach, shift your perspective and actions moving forward?
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
We'll see you next time.
See you then.